Welcome. It is the 24th day of October in the year 2008. I'm your host, Alex Hansery, with you for the next 2 hours. Open lines, 866-639-9535. The other number is 360-350-1486. We had some mild issues with the phones. Okay, yesterday wasn't the first day. Okay, fine. You got me. But I think today we'll be doing just fine. We got Rob over there looking at the phone lines. We got a lot of news, a lot of different headlines. I mean, where would you like me to start? What would you like to talk about? Here, let me just throw out a couple. Where should we go with this? First war games with China and India. I mean, that's just one little thing. Here's another one. Australia bans word drought as too upsetting for farmers. Too upsetting for farmers. Yeah, we're going to start changing the language, things of that nature. Then we have a couple other things. Russia lines up new anti-missile system to counter U.S. missile shield plans. I was out and about last night, and I saw this particular headline in the Oregonian, our own local mainstream newspaper owned by Hearst Publications. You know, a lot of spin, a lot of disinformation. You know, the more the economy collapses in on itself by design, the more blazers, the more sports figures you see on the front page of Oregonian. You know, it's like Rome. But there it is, right next to another report about how the U.S. is standing with NATO, and they will militarily respond to any move made by Russia in that region. So many things going on. We talked about the Pentagon yesterday and their special little robot dogs that would chase down unruly Americans, human beings, things of that nature. They didn't say Americans. They specifically mentioned unruly, uncooperative humans. And you begin to see the same picture emerge. So we'll go over that. We'll specifically go back and take a look at Russia. But I mean, this next one I'm going into now, flying syringe mosquitoes, other ideas, gets Gates funding. I mean, this is the ultimate vaccination story of the week. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation awarded $100,000 each on Wednesday to scientists in 22 countries, including funding for a Japanese proposal to turn mosquitoes into flying syringes, developing vaccines. I mean, I there's that story. There's the story I just mentioned about the Pentagon with their, like, robot dogs to detect non-cooperative humans. You know, there's a story about, you know, Russia doing this with their missiles and U.S. standing behind NATO, and everybody walks along saying everything's fine. Well, let them go ahead and say everything's fine. Worry about yourself for now, to a certain degree. If you find someone that needs information, it's really seeking it. Spend some time with them. Share some information with them, because it's really about caring about other people. You know, we're trying to heal a lot of really bad stuff that's out there. But, I mean, you've got to step back from some people that are very much immersed in the death culture. You know, I don't know how many skull and bones images, skull and crossbone images I got to see on just about everybody's shirt before I scratch my head and go, man, what's up with this mind control? Is it the same Chinese slave good factory kicking out all these shirts looking the same? I know that's one element. But you have other people that are buying other stuff, just obsessed with the skull and bones, obsessed with the death culture. You know, now it's Halloween. It's Halloween. And everyone wants to bring up their demons. I mean, honestly, leave your demons to yourself. There's enough demons controlling the White House. Enough demons controlling Capitol Hill. Controlling London. Perhaps controlling even some of the other countries you think aren't under their control. So it gets to be a bit overwhelming with everyone just trying to flaunt their demons and also run around pretending that everything's fine, strutting around like a peacock or something like that. In all seriousness, this is not good. It's Halloween and people want to have their sex score fetish parties, you know, and bring out their wild side. Hooray! I'm looking at a flyer right now. XXX Haunted House. I see. It's going to be taking place at the mansion, 2422 Southeast 9th and Division. Here's a girl named Malice. She's a stripper at Union Jack. She's on the flyer. this is Flyer Town, by the way, a post where this was put up like 10 times. So I tore one down because there's a picture of her simulating eating a baby. Yeah, this is what they think is going to bring in people to the party. Oh yeah, people want to see this kind of sick, demented simulation of cannibalism. I mean, do you understand what I'm talking about here? This is insane. I mean, these people want to eat babies now? You want to hear something even crazier? This girl who's eating the baby, before she went nuts, I actually asked her out on a date 7 years ago. No lie! It says, performances by Malice. I knew her when she was Alice before she actually put the M in front of the Alice. But this is bad stuff, man. I don't like it. I don't like it. Here's another one. Here's another one. Hang on. Here's a flyer. I'm holding a little orange flyer. You know, when I move, guys, by the way, I'm moving in November, and then the show's going to get even more focused than it is right now with guests and whatnot. I'm lining up a really big guest for next week, by the way. I want to let you know that I'll see if I can get a webcam, maybe bring in some props and get a little goofy here. But Viral Damnation must be 18 or over. Darkest Dreams Entertainment. And here's this whole little Halloween thing, and there's this guy in this mask and some girls in a cage, and he's dangling a knife over her, and you're going like, what the heck's going on here? And I went to their MySpace page. Go to myspace.com/, I'm just going to tell you, Darkest Dreams Haunted Me. Darkest Dreams Haunted Me. And you can see their little promos for their Halloween party, and it's bad. There's like, you know, it just girls with blood on them, simulated. They're all laying around on a pentagram, just, oh, God. I mean, what? This is not good. Here, let me read to you a description of their party, right? An outpost has been overrun by a virus outbreak caused by a nuclear explosion. Here, wait. I need to get a different effect on this. Here, hang on. Here we go. All right. An outpost has been overrun by a virus outbreak caused by a nuclear explosion. Though most of the base was destroyed, this leaves a few desolate survivors that must fight for what is to come. Only mutated armed forces, half-bred beasts, deformed cannibals, genetically enhanced warriors, and others who have been chemically altered are left. It is time for Viral Damnation, dun, 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 taking place at a Gresham barn near you. I don't know what's wrong with people, man. I don't know what's wrong with them, but we're going to go back to the news. We're going to break this up. I'm not going to rant the whole time. I kind of promised that. But how could you not? How could you not? Okay, now let's step back a notch. Epidemic numbers of people are becoming homeless. USA Today. Walked by it a couple days ago. It's on the websites the next day. Some of you already read the report. There's my city mentioned right there in the second paragraph. People are fleeing here like rats. Running from a sinking ship. Whether it be LA, Florida, New York. Now, there's good and bad in that. There's a whole lot of really conscious people moving here. On the other end, ooh boy, is it getting crowded. Ooh boy, is it getting expensive. Ooh boy, is it getting competitive. Cooperative? Maybe, to a certain degree, with some of these individuals, some of the more conscious ones, the awake ones, as relative as that term happens to be. So again, I say there's good and bad everything, but I tell you, every time I see Portland being mentioned as the most livable city, I cringe, and I shake. Just a wee bit. I don't want them being told to come run up here. I don't want them herded up here. Sometimes we ask ourselves that question, is that in fact what's taking place? Let's go into some of the other latest economic updates. Thousands of hedge funds on the brink of failure. Emmanuel Roman of GL Partners said 25 to 30% of the world's 8,000 hedge funds will disappear in a Darwinian process. Only the strong will survive. Either going bust or deciding that meager profits are not worth their efforts. I'll tell you, anybody out there ever heard of Izzy's Pizza? I don't know how national that is in terms of, you know, being in some your states, but it's been, you know, there's a point where it was pretty big here in the Northwest. It's a really crappy, all-you-can-eat Italian buffet place. You know, the worst ice cream, the worst pizza, all that. Well, they're in the news, too. They're in the news because they, the employees, are not getting their last check. The place went bankrupt. I mean, I've been to this place before when I was younger. I used to like it until you realize how bad the food is. And really, it's not very good at all. And over, I've noticed, a period of years, the food quality just gets worse and worse and worse. These people can barely earn a living. They're working at a buffet place. They can't get their last check. It's in the news right now, local. This is not good. Okay, I got a friend that works at the gas station across the street. He watched the show, too. And so we talk about the changes. He's told me about all this violence that's on the streets. People acting like a bunch of monkeys. Right? I go over and I talk to him. And I was very tired last night. I'm just like, oh, I don't even know what to say anymore, man. I just... There's this other girl there, and she works inside, and she's so upset. I could just feel her pain. What's happening is they're selling the gas station to another gas station, and they all have to reapply for jobs, and they're going to make them do direct deposit, and they're going to charge them for it. It's just bad. They're treating them like slaves. They can't do it. Just go work somewhere else if you don't like it. They're working for minimum wage. They have no rights. The girl said she's been working there for 6 years. I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, what are you doing at a gas station for 6 years, man? That stuff will break down your health, man, and turn you into a drunk. Turn you into a junkie. Oh no, this is not good. I felt that girl's pain. That was tough. And I looked at him and said, and I know what she's feeling, and it hurts. But you gotta look at the big picture, because this stuff is happening all over the map. And now they're saying in the news, yeah, it's bad, it's bad. It might not get good till 2010. But they don't tell you why it's bad or what to do about it. Or how to survive psychologically. They just want you spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. In the meantime, they play us off against one another. They got whole SWAT teams, units, right, gear, all kinds of stuff, getting ready to deal with some sort of event. Some sort of an event around the election time. In case Barack Obama doesn't become the first president or does become the first black president. They're just getting ready. This comes from thehill.com. Please prepare for civil unrest. Police departments across the U.S. are beefing up their ranks for Election Day, preparing for possible civil unrest and riots after the historic presidential contest. Public safety officials said in interviews with The Hill that the election, which will end with either the nation's first black president or its first female vice president, demanded a stronger police presence. Some worry that if Barack Obama loses and there is suspicion of foul play in the election, violence could ensue in cities with large black populations. So they just get their martial law preparations put in place ahead of time. In anticipation of some crisis. Ooh, yeah, the crisis they want. Cities that have suffered unrest before, such as Detroit, Chicago, Oakland, and Philadelphia, will have extra police deployed. Jeff Thompson, the spokesman for Oakland Police Department, says, are we anticipating it will be a right situation? No. But will we be prepared if it goes awry? Yes. He continues, I think it's a big deal. You got an African-American running and a woman running, he added, in reference to Obama and Sarah Palin. Whoever wins will be a national event. We will have more officers on the street in anticipation that things may go south. To continue on, LAPD chief warns of terror threat before election. Police Chief William Bratton has a warning for Americans as the presidential election nears. Watch out for Osama bin Laden. The remaining 14 days before the election should be seen as a time of a high threat, and state and local police should be on high alert. Very tiring to see so many people think that this is actually a debate that's actually going on. And at times it's good to just kind of leave them in the dirt. We have no more time for them. Just walk over them. We'll be back after this. 866-639-9535.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting, the home of Cutting Edge Talk Radio.
Now, I want to mention that I can't be Obama's babysitter, tracker, tracer. I mean, people are well aware this guy's no good, this guy's scum. He's in Hawaii to deal with some sort of birth certificate right now. Everybody knows about this. They go, oh no, he's half Kenyan, we have to make him the president of the U.S. It'll make everything fair. There's all kinds of stuff, though, that they aren't even talking about. They don't even really attack. They don't attack Obama, really, the way they ought to be on Fox News. Fox News is pure propaganda run by Murdoch, who made a lot of deals with Hillary Clinton way before she was even running for the presidency of the U.S. So it's all just a propaganda ploy to set McCain up to throw the fight, maybe, in the direction of Obama. I mean, look at McCain himself. He's talking about John F. Kennedy being the assassination of JFK, an intervention, this Freudian slip that came out a couple days ago. Connect the dots, and you see that there's something even weird happening in that direction as well. Barack Obama. There's some interesting information on the hypnotic subliminal messages he uses, his oration style, very hypnotic, very influential, the way he speaks. You already know about his use of the word change, but he also says things like, now is the time. As I stand here before you, by saying something true, yes, he's clearly saying something true and factual. He is there before me, as I'm here before you, we need to da-da-da-da-da. You know, mix a little truth in with a lie so it goes directly to the subconscious. You know, all these different, you know, skills that he has. These oration skills, I mean, it's absolutely amazing to see how he can control and influence so many minds. 75,000 people packed in Waterfront Park in Portland, Oregon to see Barack Obama. Very interesting indeed. I believe those records were recently broken in another city. People fainting, the Messiah effect, it's highly subliminal. You look at the elections, you look at these debates, what they're called debates, they're really just, you know, these guys should be getting Oscars. The echo effect, they look so Messiah-like, particularly Obama. The lighting's just perfect on him. You know, it's insane. But what I'm going to play for you here is from, well, Fox News, and it pertains to Biden saying that Obama's going to be tested in the next couple months. And I have an extra computer, laptop here at the moment. And so I'm going to go ahead and play this clip, and we'll see how well it comes through.
Mark my words. It will not be 6 months before the world tests Barack Obama like they did John Kennedy. The world is looking. We're about to elect a brilliant 47-year-old President of the United States of America. Remember I said standing isn't going to reach anything else I said. Watch, we're going to have an international crisis, a generated crisis, to test the mettle of this guy. And he's going to have to make some really tough, I don't know what the decision's going to be, but I promise you it will occur as a student of history.
And as a student of history, blah, 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 this is going to occur. He mentions a number of potential things that can happen. Mark my words, it will not be 6 months before the world tests Barack Obama like they did John Kennedy. Remember, I said it standing here. If you don't remember anything else I said, watch. We're going to have an international crisis, a generated crisis, to test the mettle of this guy. Let's continue on, and we're quoting him. First of all, he offers four or five scenarios that, according to ABC News, include the Middle East, Russia, a nuclear-capable Pakistan, and, of course, Osama bin Laden. Biden wants to remind you that Al-Qaeda is everywhere, and it's real. Still, that fear-mongering was not nearly as concerning as a warning of civil unrest. Here we are, only offered, you know, a kind of hinting that something's going to happen as if he's clairvoyant. And it's also said that he predicted the 9/11 attacks on September 10, 2001. If you go back to that, he said the National Press Club, when he made an astounding prediction that came true hours later, quote, we will have diverted all that money to address the least likely threat, while the real threats come in this country in the hold of a ship or the belly of a plane or smuggled into a city in the middle of the night in a vial in a backpack. And it would also be nice to get that clip where he's calling for a new world order back in 1992 to kind of see how far back this stuff goes. Anyway, this statement that I'm currently mentioning about Obama being tested in the next 6 months, or in the next couple months, really, might even be sooner than that. He mentioned that in Seattle, Washington, and Colin Powell has gone on record saying that the event or something's going to happen on the 21st or 22nd of January. Anyway, this is where it gets a little freaky. And apparently, according to ABC News, he didn't know that he was being recorded at that moment, or that the press was right there, or so he said, I might not have said all that if that press wasn't there. Because he was speaking with a group of supporters of the press kind of in the pack, and they kind of flagged this as something kind of bizarre. So let's continue with the statement that gets even weirder. And I quote, we're going to need you to use your influence within the community, to stand with him. Because it's not going to be apparently initial. It's not going to be apparent that we're right. Because I promise you, you are all going to be sitting here a year from now going, oh my God, why are they there in the polls? Why is the polling so down? Why is the thing that we're dealing with so tough? We're going to have to make some incredibly tough decisions in the first 2 years. So I'm asking you now. I'm asking you now. Be prepared to stick with us. Remember the faith you had at this moment. The angels come down from heaven. Remember the faith that you had at this moment, because you're going to have to reinforce us. Biden is outlining some sort of event that could lead to some kind of a sick dictatorship where the eroded constitution will come in handy, as will the new laws that the Bush presidency put on the books, like PDD 51. So you can't just trust Biden, especially when he's predicting an international crisis. Just to go back, Biden was linked closely to the financiers of the 9/11 attacks in the days following 9/11. He met with Pakistani ISI General Mahmoud Ahmed, the man who gave the order to give $100,000 to Muhammad Atta. And some people say it may have been higher, as high as $250,000. And then Colin Powell, there's going to be a crisis. Come along. On the 21st, 22nd of January, they don't even know about right now. Oh, boy. Where do we go from here? We'll be back in a few. 866-639-9535 or 360-350-1486. You're listening to Outside the Box and OracleBroadcasting.com.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're going to start taking this hemp, I say. Go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm going to say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue. They starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, or renegade, you only want things that God has made, go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Your influence within the community to stand with him, because it's not going to be apparent initially that we're right. Because I promise you, you're all going to be sitting here a year from now saying, oh my God, why are they there in the polls? Why is the polling so down? Why is this thing so tough? We're going to have to make some incredibly tough decisions in the next several years, so I'm asking you now, be prepared. To stick with us. Remember the faith you had at this moment, because you're going to have to reinforce us. Yeah, they're definitely messing with people's minds to a large, large degree, and we don't even have control of our own computers. We don't have control of our own elections. We don't necessarily have control of certain things that are being passed through legislation that affect the food supply. We have control of our own minds to a certain degree. If we validate that, though, if you don't believe that, you don't have control of your own mind. If you don't know your own power, you have no power. If you don't even know your own rights, you have no rights. This is kind of how it works. So it becomes hypnotic to try to convince people that this is how the world operates. That you are just a slave. That you have no value. You have no place in decision making. That everything has to be centralized. So they are working to create a riot. Everyone has to remember that when it comes to the concept of creating the riot and then providing the crackdown. And it's upsetting, but it's where we're at. But let me go ahead and just kind of go off to the side of the path here in a different direction here. This is called And Now the Manchurian Microchip. It was written by a man named Robert Erringer on the website cryptome.com, October 21st, 2008. This is what we're getting into. This is just a brief little couple paragraphs I pulled out of a long, long report. In brief, it's about the microchips in our computers. Are the microchips in our computers safe from tampering, hacking, from China, the very people that made the computers? In fact, the computers we're using to broadcast this show about the New World Order system that's being built up now in China and Russia, not just the U.S., with them leading the way, China and Russia, particularly China. So this is very interesting information to see his editorial and comments and his research, where he writes and claims, Robert, on Cryptome.com, all computers in the markets today, be they Dell, Toshiba, Sony, Apple, or especially IBM, are assembled with components manufactured inside the People's Republic of China. Each component produced by the Chinese, according to a reliable source within the intelligence community, is secretly equipped with a hidden microchip that can be activated at any time, in any place, by China's military intelligence services, the PLA, the People's Liberation Army. The security chief of a multinational corporation told the investigator, and I quote, "It is there, deep inside your computer, if they decide to call it up." Oh my God, what if they put brain chips in people? Will it be there, deep inside our mind? A little activation thing that they could decide to call up? We're going far, far in the future. The future of hacking people's actual minds. Oh, dear. But with the technology they got now and the brain scan devices, the way they can influence, it's like no chip required, mind control. But now I'm getting off into something else. I'm biting off more than I can chew. Let me continue here. He continues, and I quote, "It is capable of providing Chinese intelligence with everything stored on your system, on everyone's system, from email to documents." I call it home technology, call home technology. It doesn't mean to say that they're sucking data from everyone's computer today. It means the Chinese think ahead, and now they have the potential to do it when it suits their purposes. Okay, this is where it gets very interesting. It's the hottest topic concerning the FBI and the Pentagon, a retired intelligence official told the investigator. They don't know quite what to do about it. The Chinese have even been able to hack into the computer system that handles our intercontinental ballistic missile system. Wow. And it gets deeper. But we don't have the time to go into all that stuff. But wow, oh wow, how time does fly. Just imagine the type of technology that exists that we don't even know about. I wasn't paying attention to the caller page, but now I see we have two calls that are lined up back to back. We're going to go ahead and talk to Kevin. How you doing, sir? Okay, Kevin, are you still there? I took you off mute, and we do have all the conference stuff set up right technically on our end today. I don't hear him. Let's try our caller from New York. Are you there? Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Alex. This is Alex. I think we spoke once before. How you doing?
I'm doing well today. How are you?
All right. You know, it's interesting you said that about Obama and his diction and certain words he uses. I just had a friend of mine ask me about that last night because he was trying to figure out why everybody loves him so much. You know, the best I could come up with is, well, they love him because they have to love him. You know, he's being built up as the new king of Camelot, you know, so everybody has to love the king. And, you know, of course he's going to win. You know, that's a given. They wouldn't be investing all this time into making people love him if they did, because it's that whole ritual of, actually, I think Josh even mentioned it in his show earlier. You kill the king, you replenish the land, right? So they're saving him for something special. You know, that's why there's all these comparisons to JFK, and that's why you have all these comparisons to JFK and Camelot. Actually, James Shelby, what was his last name? Downard, I think, something like that. He wrote a book called King Kill 33, which shows all the rituals involved in killing the king and why it was important to kill the king in the assassination of John F. Kennedy. So we might be looking at something like that, you know, once in the future with this Obama character.
Very interesting analysis. As you were talking, I pulled up a report that reads, Obama wants U.S. troops surge in Afghanistan. sounds presidential, sounding presidential. Senator Barack Obama said Wednesday he would order a surge of U.S. troops, perhaps 15,000 or more, to Afghanistan as soon as he reached the White House. A U.S. Army brigade includes about 1,000 soldiers, along with tanks, armored personnel carriers, and helicopter gunships. That's what he's calling for right now at the moment, seeking to deflect attacks. But he is dangerously inexperienced in foreign policy. He is making this move to pretend to be serious about going after the terrorists. But I mean, we have Biden right next to him, who's the number one accomplice. So it's very sad and tough to deal with on the emotional level to see people not investigate the facts. They just don't have the common sense to do it anymore.
Or to be sure, or to be so hypnotized by this character. I mean, you run into people, they're intelligent, you know, but they're just well trained, you know. They're just so in love with this guy, and everybody wants to tell you about how, you know, everything is going to be different now. He's going to change, and I can't believe people are falling for this. And
let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. We have a break coming up. Do you want to hang on for the next segment and go through that document? It's on InfoWars now. It's being spread around the web. It's a 60-page document, PDF. And it goes through all the hypnotic stuff that Obama's using in the debates. And someone just put this out, like, today.
Yeah, sure. I was hoping to go more into the effect of everybody around us kind of turning to zombies. Not just Obama, you know, just in general. When you're talking about the frustration of going out anymore, you know, trying to talk to real people.
Okay, well, we've got a break coming up. We'll go right into that right after this. Stay with us, everyone. This is Outside the Box on OracleBroadcasting.com. As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Oh, so Alex, you're in New York, right?
Actually, I'm in Florida. I just have a New York number.
Florida, okay. Well, yeah, there's certainly a lot of mind-controlled zombies down there in Florida. I'm really, I just read a report about a 9-year-old girl who got arrested in this zombie-like fashion. They don't know what to do with her. Everyone just calls the police and something goes wrong, and it becomes normal for people to grow up in that environment. Just, they don't call the parents. They just take them straight to... The jailhouse programming. So what would you like to say from your perspective on the 28 days later zombie culture we're in?
Well, you got asked earlier this week if anybody was planning on doing anything about dating and what's happened in our society, because it's all part of the zombification process. And actually, one of the things that I do in my time is I look at movies and how they're used to program cultural changes. That's why we have the words, you know, entertain, entrain, and trance. They're all very similar words. It's the same thing. And actually, I will be creating something like a mini documentary looking into that, because it's had an effect on dating, because we're being moved towards a sort of a collectivist. You know, that's why, you know, you look back in the old days, you know, when we used to go to the prom, you know, it was a big thing about who you're going to ask, going on a date. Now people go in groups, you know, nobody goes on dates anymore. Now we're being moved towards a collectivist environment. And it's part of the general trend. You know, they show it in certain popular TV shows. I'm going to be looking at Friends, Sex and the City, and things of that nature, and show how these shows come out, and then people start mimicking and acting like the characters in the show, and then this becomes what we call modern culture.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they're all turned into zombies.
Right. I also think that, well, the biggest sex organ is the brain itself, not the actual, you know, genitalia. And so we also learned to be attracted to certain people in different cultures. A lot of that's learned behavior.
Yeah.
There's so much there, it gets overwhelming.
Yeah, we're de-emphasizing the brain. You know, you look at, you know, considered hot and sexy now. You know, intelligence went out, what, with the Civil War or something like that. I mean, that went out a long time ago, you know. You look at the people. You mentioned that story earlier about you know, Bill Gates, and Josh had covered it as well. The one about Bill Gates announcing that he's going to start giving us vaccines, whether we like it or not, because they're going to start putting it in mosquitoes. Right now, that's huge. He's basically declaring war on the human race right there. All right, we're going to have mosquitoes flying around injecting us with cancer viruses. And, you know, you've got these people running around. I had two friends. One ended up in the hospital last week because they were wearing a Tampa hat in Boston. Okay? And this is what people fight about. Bill Gates declares war on the human race. And people are like, oh, yeah, Boston, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's bad. It's very, very bad. Yeah. And then some people react to all this madness that you're talking about, sort of going, oh, my God, we're under attack. Oh, my God, we have to mobilize. The tribe's really under attack. Oh, my. Instead, some people are just going, ugh, maybe I got to kill something, too. Ugh, I'm not feeling too well. I don't want to sink my teeth into something. And I read this report about, you know, 10 guys all wearing the same type of pants, jumping out with baseball bats in Salem, Oregon, chasing the teen, stabbing him in the back as he's running. And I'm just like, what? No! You know, you read some report about some parent cutting his toddler's tongue off because he won't stop crying in Astoria, Oregon. All kinds of, you just look at local stories and you see people just going mad. And that makes me just,
It's all over the country. I mean, I left America for a few years, and it was only like 2 or 3 years. I came back, and everything had changed. I thought I really stepped into another country. I couldn't believe how people had regressed to such a state. I mean, I think this is ground zero for all these experiments that we see, for all the social engineering. They started here, and then what happens is they take them to Europe, and they start spreading them out. The third world can wait because, you know, they're already screwed up. They're in dire economic straits, so they test them out here, and you see certain trends. You know, one of the countries I used to go to regularly, Greece. You know, I'm going to say conservative in a good old-fashioned way, not necessarily conservative, you know, because we've got this word conservative mixed up with the Republicans and the moral majority and all these other nut cases. As soon as MTV came in Greece, you know, 3 years later, that country was turned inside out. It was just remarkable the effect it had in 3 years in that country alone. So, yeah, they try it here. They take them over there. You know, whatever destroys this country, okay, now we can move it on to Europe and whatever else. People have some semblance of community or some sense of, like, looking for themselves for answers instead of saying, oh, you know, like you said, let's call the police, you know. This is the simplest of things.
For us,
it's pretty sad.
Well, I mean, we have to keep ourselves up instead of down because we got to figure out why we're aware of this stuff, I think, because it's like great challenges and tragedies can create great change and transformation on just another way of looking at it. And I see that a lot of people react to this stuff differently. Some people, they awaken to who they are as a result of the tragedy, and some people, they go further down into the abyss of illusion. I think we know what side of the fence we're on right now, and there's a number of people waking up, so it's like part of what we're doing is trying to wake people up, and the other part is trying to find the others for our own sanity, right, and peace of mind.
Yeah, there's just more and more of a split coming. I guess it's getting worse and worse. More people are starting to wake up, you know. On the other hand, there's more and more people just getting further and further. They're turning into this whole zombified. They're not even human anymore, I dare say, you know. it just about that spark was gone. I don't know if there's any reaching, you know, because there's a lot of people who still think we can wake, you know, a lot of the masses up. I don't think so.
Well, wow, there's so many ways of looking at this. In my perspective, I'm trying to really get even more specific on what I feel. I think it's important to try to wake some people up because there's still a purpose to the wake-up process. And what is being awake is a relative thing, too. You know, someone just awakening the fact that they have a spirit and there are energies that we have in our body, that's just might be enough for them to send them off in the direction where they need to be. It's not all of a political nature either when it comes to waking up. There's so many lies, like you say.
That's one level of it.
Yeah, there's so many levels. So I think some levels affect other people in ways they're supposed to be at. You know, there are people, because we're all at different levels. And it's hard to deal with that reality, too, that not everyone's supposed to comprehend this stuff. They can't. They don't know what to... They're in a different place. There are others, though, that you meet along the way, the road of life, that go, I had no clue there were others that knew about this stuff. I had no clue. I thought I was all alone. And I've met men and women that know about this stuff that have never heard about the people we know that have radio shows and make films. They just figured it out naturally and thought they were all alone. I find that to be fascinating.
And I think that's part of, as you know, as they tighten a vice, you know, as things get worse and worse and worse, more people just are going to come, you know, you have to come to the realization, you know, that, okay, this, you know, everything is not as, this is just completely out of whack. You know, everything I learned was this nonsense, because what I see happening before me, this is not the natural evolution or, you know, de-evolution of man, however you want to look at it, you know. I look at it as
I don't know if I can generalize it as one. You look at it more of a regression, decay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I look at it from the terms of, you know, where my field of research is, which is how, you know, movies are used to program the public mind. And you can see it, you know, I've been looking at it for years and years. I mean, I've been doing it for years. And just going back from movies from years and years, you can see they put it out there, and then these trends start developing. One of the things about going out that's, you know, gotten really frustrating for me is one of the things they changed when I mentioned, like, I left this country and come back is, like, all of a sudden the girls were mean. They were just, like, rude to you, you know. At first you used to worry about, like, okay, they're going to just reject me. Now you have to worry that they start calling you names or actually get physically aggressive with you. And what happened a few years ago, that movie Mean Girls came out. Now, of course it came out as, like, oh, you know, the good girl is the one that's not mean. But, no, you look at it, and, like, you look at my... people that I know that are teenagers, and yeah, you know, there's little quicks going where we're going around school afterwards calling themselves the mean girl. They thought it was cool, you know, to be mean. You watch
this.
Oh, wow.
We got.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting edge talk radio.